Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Safely scooped to safety. 150 passengers and 5 crew aboard a U.S. Airways jet plane bound for Charlotte ended up in New York City's Hudson River.
I looked out my window at 3:30 and saw this giant jet traveling extremely low down the river at altitude that is unusual for flight patterns here. I've been living here for 25 years, and I've never seen a jet that low before.
On board U.S. Airways Flight 1549, passenger Jeff Kolajai.
The pilot just said brace for impact, and that's what we all did, and just we landed, you know, and the plane filled with water really quick, and man, everyone was calm and cool, and everyone was just great.
What happened? The plane losing power in both engines when just 45 seconds after takeoff from LaGuardia Airport, the jet ran into a large flock of birds. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
Birds are a problem, and birds have been a problem in aviation for a long time, and that's why at many airports, I know at D.C. Reagan, and I believe at LaGuardia, they use noise devices like sporadic cannon fire devices to scatter birds. It's why that you don't have things like city dumps near runways and anything that would attract like large flocks of birds.
The pilot is being called a hero, safely putting the jet plane down in the Hudson River. Aviation expert Al Yerman.
An excellent job. The plane looks pretty much intact. He made a quick decision to realize he couldn't fly any further and put it down, the control ditch.
All on board, safely brought to land. The next phase of economic stimulus is being released. Update now on the $350 billion package from CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
After written assurances and intense lobbying from the incoming Obama administration, the Senate narrowly gave the go-ahead for release of another $350 billion in bailout funds to prevent financial institutions from collapsing. Mr. Obama told senators he would personally sign off on how the money is spent and promised a big chunk of it would be used to reduce foreclosures.
The latest signal that Barack Obama is planning to chart a new course in his fight against terrorism. His nominee to be Attorney General Eric Holder today forcefully breaking from the Bush administration, declaring that waterboarding is torture. During his Senate confirmation hearing, he also says some Guantanamo Bay detainees will be prosecuted in U.S. courts. In just a couple of hours, President Bush makes his farewell address to the nation.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House.
We have made the world freer.
Just one of the themes as the president prepares for his final bid to buff his legacy before leaving office. Top advisors say he will use the speech to a small audience in the White House East Room to outline his views on future challenges, including the ongoing terror threat. But they say it will be a mostly optimistic message. It will be Mr. Bush's final appearance before he greets incoming President Obama on Inauguration Day. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Wall Street turnaround, the Dow up 12 points today. This is CBS News.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow, Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Mo. There's even free phone support with real-life people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
Hey, honey, notice anything different about me?
Yeah, I do. There's some guy on the back of your bike. And is that a megaphone?
She's the hottest biker on two wheels, brains, beauty, and the need for speed.
I saved so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I bought a hype man.
She has got it all. What?
I don't know. What?
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
That's right.
Call today or visit Geico.com to see how much you could save.
A ceasefire? In Gaza? Not yet.
I'm Cammy McCormick along the border with Gaza. Israel pounded Gaza today with artillery fire, but now its leaders are reportedly studying a ceasefire proposal that may include a year-long truce and the withdrawal of Israeli forces within just 5 to 7 days. Thousands of Israeli ground forces are believed to be inside Gaza. They've moved closer to populated areas, firing tanks and machine guns. Hundreds of Palestinians have reportedly died in this offensive. The possibility of urban warfare raises the risk for Israeli soldiers as well.
The temperature was minus 16 degrees in Hayward, Wisconsin, the night Timothy Brigman went sleepwalking outside, wearing only his underwear and a fleece shirt. Authorities say he died of hypothermia. They also believe he may have been taking Ambien and drinking alcohol. Ambien is the most prescribed sleeping pill in America. Its maker maintains it is safe if not mixed with alcohol. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Office Max believes that in this economy, small businesses should get all the perks that big businesses get, which is why we're calling small businesses like Zuma J's Surfboards.
Zuma J's.
Hi, I'm calling from Office Max, and we want to give you your own national radio commercial right now.
Okay, that's terrific, but I've got a whole store full of customers that want to buy stuff.
Well, you are on the radio right now. Can you just tell us in 30 seconds why you think Zuma J's is the best surf shop in Malibu?
The Zuma J's is the best surf shop in Malibu because it carries hardcore goods for hardcore surfers. No skateboards, no snowboards. Rip, shred, and tear. Zuma J shreds L.A. Buy a board. Don't delay.
Great. Awesome. Okay, so what if I want to buy a skimboard?
Skimboards, we got them.
Small businesses. Join the Max Perks Rewards Program at OfficeMax, and you'll earn rewards that can be redeemed by cash. And right now, OfficeMax will give you 25% bonus rewards when you use your Max Perks card on big brands like Sharpie, Avery, and Post-its. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Promotion ends.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Today's broadcast dedicated to 150 people who survived a U.S. Airways jet crash in the chilly Hudson River in New York today. I'll empty my pockets for you. Yes, we're suffering through another 70 degree day around San Francisco Bay. So if somebody could take you away from your frigid condition, this would be the place to go. Program today and our special progressive coverage of Tuesday's historic inauguration of President Barack Obama is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. Coming up next hour, our weekly visit with Scott Dick on military and veterans issues. We'll get his take on General Shinseki being named to head the Veterans Administration. And also the remarkable comments from Susan Crawford. She's in charge of the military tribunals at Gitmo. And she said, yeah, we've tortured. We've tortured to the point that it really renders ineffective any effort to prosecute the individuals who remain, at least many of them, at Guantanamo Bay. We'll talk about that and also Obama's plan to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And we'll talk about the Israeli incursion into Gaza. Now at day 20, more than 1,000 Palestinians have died and over 4,000 injured. And the large majority of those appear to be women and children. We'll also go low-tech and bring you portions of George W. Bush's last mangled speech. And also some excerpts, clips from Dick Cheney's comments on PBS the other night. They didn't torture, but they're proud of the torture that occurred. That's the twisted message you get out of these guys. You can call into the program, and I hope you will, whenever the urge strikes you. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. I pay the bill myself, so you don't have to. 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Fan Shakir can't join us today from the Center for American Progress. He's knee-deep in inauguration preparations. His boss, John Podesta, has been co-leader of the transition committee there. And Ryan Powers steps up from the Progress Report and thinkprogress.org. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Peter. How you doing? Nice to be with you.
Well, it's nice to make your acquaintance. And tell us a little bit about what you did before you came to the Center for American Progress.
Well, before I was at the center, I actually was an intern. I was in college and I was reading Think Progress and saw the great work that they were doing and wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied for an internship, and by some magical happenstance, they picked me up, and so here I am. I completed the internship, and they hired me about 8 months ago now.
Oh, great. Well, I'm really glad to hear that. And I look at Think Progress every day. I get the progress report in my email. And you and your team do a lot of great work in reporting the news with appropriate analysis and links to help us appreciate it from a progressive perspective. So kudos to you and the team.
Well, thank you very much.
Ryan, first up, if you could, give us a little scoreboard rundown on the confirmation hearings that are underway in the Senate right now. I understand that Secretary of State designate Hillary Clinton got a 14-1 committee vote. Who was the one? Do you know?
Well, I guess it was Senator Vitter who decided to vote against moving her nomination forward for a full Senate vote.
Did he consult with his hookers? I'm sorry.
Well, he, the pinnacle of ethics that he is, was concerned apparently with the donations to the Clinton Global Initiative that former President Clinton mm-hmm. leads. And he, was not satisfied with the memorandum of understanding that Hillary Clinton signed with the Obama transition team,
mm-hmm.
Which requires, yearly disclosure of all the donors and the amount that they donated,
mm-hmm.
Which is fairly transparent in my mind. It seems like a bit of a political theater from where I sit.
Well, I think the senator handled it very well in her commentary the other day. She said, I come with a lot of conflicts.
Right.
And so she was, pretty candid about that. At the same time, I think these are legitimate issues.
Well,
we saw recently that this guy, Robert Kongol, who he benefited from a bill that Hillary supported. He's trying to build Destiny USA outside Syracuse. And shortly after he got what he wanted out of Senator Clinton, he donated $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Now, he says there's no connection, and I can't prove there is one. But these are the kinds of appearances of conflict that will likely surface over her tenure as Secretary of State. And I guess in some ways we'll just have to get used to it.
Well, right. I think Senator Lugar actually handled it much more forthrightly than Senator Vitter did. Lugar, expressed his concerns about, appearances of impropriety and how we can't have that clouding, the foreign policy establishment under an Obama administration. But at the same time, he understood that Clinton was a competent and knowledgeable candidate for Secretary of State. And with that, he expressed his reservations, but voted on her qualifications, not some sort of, appearance or, mm-hmm. Inferred controversy.
Well, and I would just counsel Senator Vitter and others to relax and get used to this, because we had to suffer through 8 years of rubber stamp confirmations for virtually every nominee George W. Bush put forward. The only failure was Harriet Myers, and she withdrew because Republicans wouldn't support her. But it pained me time after time, Ryan, to see people who were tinged in one way, the incompetent Alberto Gonzalez, the failed National Security Advisor promoted to Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, and even Mukasey, the most recent Attorney General. Offered a real shameful set of comments at his confirmation hearings, and the Democrats approved him anyway. So,
well, this may be one of the few times that I agree with Rush Limbaugh, who is on the radio today, you know, lamenting the fact that, you know, Republicans are kind of rolling over on a lot of the nominations. But at the same time, he said, you know, elections have consequences. I agree. You know, they have consequences, and part of that is, you know, swallowing the bitter pill of, you know, accepting these people who you may have policy differences with, but you have to judge them on their qualifications. And in this case, the Foreign Relations Committee deemed that Clinton was qualified.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think she will sail through in the full Senate, too. I imagine there'll be less than 10 votes against her. Now, let's turn to Eric Holder. He is the nominee for Attorney General, and this has been a more contentious confirmation process, as I referenced Gonzalez and Mukasey. You know, the Democrats certainly threw up a lot of questions, and many of them did end up voting against those nominees. They were confirmed anyway. Holder, I expect, will likely be confirmed, and I do think that the issue of the Mark Rich pardon will disappear sometime between now and next week after Bush issues his spate of pardons. So I'm not so worried about that. But I do think that Holder has some explaining to do about his work for corporate interests like Chiquita Banana. I happen to know a fair amount about that company. It's controlled by Carl Lindner, who is a Republican from Cincinnati, where I grew up. And he has, you know, used a lot of checkbook contributions to political officials to smooth the way for him over the years, including his operation of Chiquita. And so, you know, Eric Holder does appear to have cashed in while he was out of government and has represented some, you know, kind of murky corporate interest types.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that... you know, we have ample opportunity to kind of examine some of this. I know personally less about his, you know, post-government, you know, what he's done in the private sector than I do about, you know, some of the controversies that the Republic, well, you know, drummed up controversies, you know, Mark Rich, the Puerto Rican nationalist. This Holder seems to be the you know, the nominee that Republicans and conservatives in the Senate thought that they could, you know, make their stand on, where they had some sort of at least history of, you know, dramatics, where they could, you know, make their political stand that, you know, we're not going to roll over completely.
Now, Ryan, I didn't get to, you know, watch the full coverage of Eric Holder's testimony, but I did read some reports from progressives who found him a little confusing, that when he was asked explicit questions like, is waterboarding torture? Yes. Can the president violate the FISA law? No. Do you plan to investigate the wrongdoing of the Bush administration? Well, that's where it seems to get a little fuzzy. Did you feel he gave clear answers on possible prosecutions of wrongdoing by Bush administration officials?
Well, I think the, you know, the future Obama administration on the whole has been a little bit reluctant to say anything particular about what they plan to do with regard to investigating possible torture violations. And some of that, I suspect, is to, you know, play down any sort of, you know, obstacles to approving some of their, you know, Attorney General nomination. But they do, and Holder in particular seems open, at least to the prospect of investigations. You know, he says today that he would follow the evidence where it led. And Orrin Hatch tried to pin him down, but he said, you know, no one's above the law, and we will follow the evidence where it leads. So at least he's open to it. He doesn't see it as, you know, just policy differences. He sees that waterboarding is torture and is illegal.
Well, and I'll say this, Ryan, because I want full investigations. I'm one of those bitter people who supported impeachment and then censure. So now the last really available option is a special prosecutor or a concerted effort by the Justice Department to investigate and bring to justice those who broke the law. But just strategically, it probably isn't helpful for Eric Holder to announce that before the president loses his pardon power.
Because
if you say on Thursday, yeah, I want to string them all up, well, that kind of gives Bush the weekend to say, well, let's make sure they can't string them all up.
Well, I've also heard people talk about how they don't necessarily think that George Bush will pardon a lot of these guys that justify torture, simply because it puts the onus on a progressive Congress to do the heavy lifting of actually looking into all these crimes and, you know, airing out the dirty laundry, some of which may dirty Democrats as well as Republicans who were in the know, you know, while all this was being, you know, designed and carried out.
That's a very good point. We're going to take a break and return. Ryan Powers with us from the Center for American Progress. You can get their daily progress report delivered free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org and give me your email address. If you have a question or comment, you can bring it on now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Can choice be saved? On Thursday, January 22nd, please join Planned Parenthood Mar Monti in commemorating the 36th anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Join us for our annual luncheon, Can Obama Save Choice? Attorney Mickey Welsh will address these questions and more. The event will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Monterey on January 22nd from 11:15 to 1:15. Tickets are $25 for students and $35 for general public. For more information and to RSVP, please call Christina at 784-1109, extension 103. That's 784-1109, extension 103.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations. Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. a Mon Pot treasure at your service for 70 years.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Report made the selection. The corporations gave the direction. They said, "Bush it." He went and hired his daddy's staff and a few guys from Nixon's just for a laugh. Now the world is his oyster, split in half. Bush it. Though he'd never been to a foreign land, had a map of the world he'd never understand. Right up his back with the puppeteer's hand. Bush it.
Yes, we're winding down the Bush years by dipping into the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives to play all those Bush-bashing tunes that people sent me over the years. I don't know where this one came from, but I'm grateful for it. We're talking with Ryan Powers from the Daily Progress Report and ThinkProgress.org, all at the Center for American Progress in Washington. And, Ryan, when Bush gave that farewell press conference the other day, I've joked that I wish somebody had put a breathalyzer up on the microphone. Is there any buzz inside D.C. that the president's off the wagon and that some of his recent public comments appear to be a little looser and goosier than, even what we've seen with his mangled verbiage in the past?
Well, yeah. I mean, even in the White House press conference today, Press Secretary Donna Perino was talking about how a lot of the White House staffers were literally checking out, of the office, not just figuratively as they've been, the last 6 months. And there was a moment of humor when counselor to the president, Ed Gillespie, talked about how Bush had become more winsome. And the press seemed confused. And about 10 minutes later, one of the reporters asked, "Winsome? Did you mean wistful?" because winsful means appealing or charming,
right? Yeah.
Whereas what they really meant to say was wistful, that he, despite all his public comments about how he doesn't want to get emotional during these last few days, during his speech today at the State Department, it looked like he was about to break down into tears when he was talking about Ambassador Ryan Crocker. So I think he's figuratively and literally checked out.
Yeah.
Fitting into his presidency, he's spending the weekend at Camp David on vacation, as he has many times.
most of the time. Did we have a current tally? Did he crack 1,200 days of vacation in an 8-year period?
I don't know days, but I think he's been on 77 separate vacations, and I think the Daily Show counted up that he'd only done 44 press conferences over the 8 years. So a little disparity there.
Now, you did a great job in the Progress Report today about his so-called legacy and how many of his claims simply don't match his behavior, that he was a uniter, not a divider. And as they try to burnish and spin the record, a little bit later today we're going to play excerpts from Dick Cheney's interview with Jim Lehrer. As he trots out the same discredited stories of alleged terrorist threats to the United States that required the law-breaking, the wiretapping,
right,
and the incredible assertion of presidential power that Bush and Cheney will be remembered for. And it just shows me, Ryan, how far out of touch with reality they truly are.
Well, it's true. The last, 3 weeks now, I feel like we've had, two or three interviews from senior Bush administration officials a day. And I think Think Progress has done a post on almost every single one of them, pointing out numerous misstatements about their record. And George Bush's favorite, line right now is that, history will judge. But at the moment, they seem to be trying, to spin the record.
Well, and one of his breathtaking comments is, "Well, I started with a recession and I ended with one," but he acts as if he didn't have any connection to those events, and that his tax cuts and the incredible spending in Iraq may have had something to do with our economic meltdown. He just doesn't get it. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you for sitting in for Faz Shakir today, and I wish you the best with the crush in Washington with the inauguration upcoming.
All right, well, thanks. It was a pleasure.
Ryan Powers from the Progress Report. Get your own copy at progressreport.org. Coming up next, we'll talk about Israeli military refuseniks right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Stamps.com. It's like having a post office right at your desk. For a four-week trial and $100 bonus offer, including $45 in free postage for my listeners, visit Stamps.com. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the screen and type in Osgood. I'm Charles Osgood. It's not absolutely necessary to be an egotistical jerk to have a long and very successful acting career in Hollywood. You can be modest, dignified, even courtly, as Ricardo Montalban was. Film historian Leonard Maltin of Entertainment Tonight says from the beginning,
when he first appeared in big mainstream MGM movie musicals in the late 40s opposite Esther Williams and other leading ladies, he was absolutely a Latin heartthrob.
To the end.
Even in recent years when he was confined to a wheelchair, he gave really wonderful performances in Spy Kids 2 and Spy Kids 3 as the kid's grandfather.
Ricardo Montalban died yesterday at the age of 88. More about him after this. We Osgoods have always been really keen on postage stamps. In fact, did you know Samuel Osgood was appointed the first U.S. Postmaster General under the Constitution by George Washington himself? Now, I want you to know about a great way to save time and money. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, I can print real U.S. postage using my own computer and printer, and so can you. There's no need to go to the post office or to lease an expensive postage meter. All you do is go to Stamps.com, and within minutes you can print all your postage right from your desk. And right now I've arranged for a special offer just for my listeners, a four-week trial with a $100 bonus offer, including $45 in free postage for my listeners. But to take advantage of this special offer, you do have to remember to use the nation's first name in stamps, my own last name, Osgood. You can be your own Postmaster General. For the four-week trial and $100 bonus offer, go to Stamps.com. And before you do anything else, click on that radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Osgood. Visit Stamps.com today and be sure to use my name, Osgood. Ricardo Montalban was always gracious to everybody.
My dear guests, I am Mr. Rourke, your host. Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Unlike certain others in Hollywood, he considers himself blessed to be able to earn a very good living as a professional actor.
My dear Tattoo, when each guest is paying $50,000 for a three-day stay on Fantasy Island, he or she deserves miracles.
The characters he played were not always lovable. Remember him as the villainous Khan in Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan?
They're requesting communication, sir.
Let them eat static.
Even in commercials, he would play the role to perfection.
What I need from an automobile, I know I get from this new Corvette.
Everybody loved Ricardo Montalban, and who could ask for more?
I request nothing beyond the thickly cushioned luxury of seats available even in soft Corinthian leather.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation.
Is being preempted by sports programming on Saturdays.
This month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet.
So tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hello.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 34 minutes after the hour. It is day 20 of Israel's assault on Gaza. And according to our contact in Gaza, Sameh Habib, who was live with us yesterday, and as we talked to him, we could hear the shelling from Israeli tanks right outside the door of his home. And he was hunkered down there, didn't sound fearful. But how would you feel if you're in your home or your office right now where you feel safe? And an occupying power with, you know, massive military superiority sent tanks and ground troops, fighter jets, helicopter gunships, used white phosphorus. How would you feel? Well, his dispatch today reports the death toll of Palestinians is now in excess of 1,100. The last I heard, 13 Israelis have died since this started. Maintaining the grisly parity of close to 100 to 1. And the number of wounded in Gaza is now upwards of 5,100. And consistently, the reports indicate but almost half of those are children and women. And as the carnage continues, the United States passes resolutions supporting Israel's right to self-defense. I have no quibble with Israel's right to self-defense, but this is not self-defense. This is based on the Bush Doctrine of preemptive military action. Joining me to talk about it is Yonatan Shapira. He served as a captain in the Israeli Air Force Reserves, and he started a group called Israeli Air Force Pilots Who Refused to Participate in an Attack Mission on, the group is called Combatants for Peace, but he was with a group who refused to participate in missions attacking Palestinian territories. Yonatan Shapira, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
I appreciate your willingness to speak out and to join us on the program today, because most Americans, unfortunately, think Israelis are all in lockstep. They think it's a monolithic population that blindly supports the political leadership. And you offer an example of someone who has served, someone who was given orders to attack Palestinians and refused. And for that, I have great respect for you, Yonatan.
Thank you, and thank you for having me and having this different voice, because just like you said at the beginning, you don't hear it almost here in the corporate media, and you don't hear it almost at all in the Israeli corporate media, and that's where the problem starts.
Describe for us the, you know, political breakdown in Israel, and to what extent are there people who are opposed to this current military action in Gaza?
It's a very sad fact. As far as I know, in the last weeks, I think the resistance within the Israeli Jewish population is not more than 6%. So almost all Israelis, including the Zionist left, is supportive of this massacre in Gaza. And we have to use the right words. If you don't mind, I want to make things very, very clear. I guess your listeners are more progressive, and they probably heard more about the reality on the ground than the average American listener, but just to make it clear, the Gaza Strip is a cage, is an open-air prison of about 1.5 million people, most of them refugees that were pushed to this place in 1948 and some in 1967. They live in very suffocating camps of refugees in some cities. It's literally one of the most, if not the most, heavily densely populated places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So these people do not have anywhere to run away to or escape. It's not like in the last war in Lebanon in 2006, where people were killed by the Israeli Air Force, but they could at least run away to somewhere. In the Gaza case, we're talking about a cage and prisoners whom are children and women and citizens and civilians. And now the Israeli Air Force and the Israeli Army is bombing them and killing. And not just, you know, so-called fighters.
Mm-hmm.
They're bombing hospitals, schools, UN compounds,
yes.
UNRWA. It's just devastating, and people have to wake up to reality. We are not talking about a conflict. We are not talking about a balanced conflict. We are talking about a helpless group of people and one of the most strong armies in the world bombing them.
Mm-hmm.
day and night. And it breaks my heart to think that some of those people were my friends until recently.
And Yonatan, in English, we have some grisly metaphors that are fairly applicable here. One is sitting ducks, and the other is the phrase shooting fish in a barrel. And while I don't diminish that Hamas does represent an irritant and, you know, occasionally a threat to Israel, it is so disproportionate. And it's unconscionable for Israel to launch these massive military assaults in civilian population areas where they know that the so-called collateral damage will far exceed the damage that they are targeting. So, for example, when they wanted to take out one of the Hamas leaders, he was killed along with four wives and 11 children. And I'm sorry, there is no way that I can morally rationalize that. If it's committed by anyone, Israel or anyone else, this is...
Let me give you an example. First of all, I am concerned about, you know, the lives of Israelis, and it's important to say and to make it very, very clear. My parents and my family and my friends, are sometime in the area where they were, you know, they can get harmed and killed by the Qassam rockets. And me personally, I was there just a few days ago at the area where I helped my father in his... my father is a farmer, and he worked now not far from Gaza, and the rockets are falling next to us. But let's look at the numbers. Let's please look at the numbers. We're talking about 1,100 people, most of them are... almost half of them civilians. I think the numbers are just telling us the clear answer about the reality. It's just shocking. And what I wanted to tell you before is that on Sunday I had a debate on the radio on one of the most popular radio channels in Israel. And they had this colonel from the Air Force debating against me, and in this debate the host asked the colonel what did he think that Israel should do, and the clear answer by this guy was annihilation. He said we have to destroy Gaza, and he used the word Hashmadah. In Hebrew, when you say the word Hashmadah, it means annihilation, complete destruction. And when we say this word in Hebrew, every Jewish people, every Israeli person will immediately think about the Holocaust, because they always use the same word when mm-hmm. we talk about the destroying of the Jewish people in Europe. And he used the same word, and he said that we have to destroy all Gaza.
And Yonatan, let us compare that with the way Israel and the United States repeatedly quote Ahmadinejad as saying that he wants to wipe Israel off the map. There's a phrase that he uses in Persian that, you know, is translated in the most the darkest possible way for consumption in the West. And also, I acknowledge the rhetoric of many Palestinians, including Hamas and including folks in Hezbollah, who do talk in very extreme terms about Israel, about wiping it off the face of the earth, about exterminating the Jews. And so, you know, this extreme language is often cited as the rationale that Israel cannot rest, it cannot compromise, it cannot negotiate with Palestinians. And yet the rhetoric from Israeli leaders themselves is often as extreme and loaded, and they seem to have no notice of that.
Yeah, and that's the reason in the organization me and other friends of mine founded a few years ago called the Combatants for Peace. We worked together with Palestinian and Israeli ex-fighters trying to literally re-educate the people on both sides about the reality and about, you know, seeing the other not as an enemy but as brother. And we're doing this activity all over the world, and especially in Israel and in Palestine, trying to bring people together to see, to let them see each other, talk to each other, tell each other their stories. And this is a lot of work, and we have, you know, we have to overcome so much, you know, mistrust and lies and people who are extreme on both sides. But with all the words that's being used, we also have to look at the facts on the ground. And the facts on the ground is whatever extreme words the Hamas and the Hezbollah are using, the situation on the ground is that Israel, we are the occupying power.
Mm-hmm.
We are holding all the power and the potential. You know, we can do whatever we want with this huge power that we have. We can destruct everyone, we can destroy everyone, and we can start that process with whoever we want. The problem, there is no real intention on the side of the Israeli government. And in the last few years, even the Hamas, with all its extremists, asked Israel to negotiate with and to sit and discuss a solution. But the Israeli leadership were too afraid of doing that because they knew that the real price, the end price of doing that would be a complete withdrawal to the 1967 borders. And they were not willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brought us to this situation. The ongoing refusal, I'm not the real refusing here. I'm just obeying the international law not to kill innocent civilians. The real refusing, the real refusers in this story is the Israeli government.
Yonatan, we need to take a break. Please stay with us. I want to talk with you further. Yonatan Shapira, a former captain in the Israeli Air Force Reserves and now a co-founder of Combatants for Peace. You're hearing his very clear commentary about Israel's military action in Gaza right now. We'll take a break and return. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. And if you don't agree with me or Yonatan, don't hesitate to call. This is an open forum, and I believe in open dialogue. 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum taking your calls.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
We all know the economy's experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader Rinaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Can you imagine if you lived in Gaza? Under assault with nowhere to run, nowhere to hide? Could you think of a reason to stay there? Thank you, Tracy Chapman. We're talking with Yonatan Shapira. As we mentioned, he served as a captain in the Israeli Air Force Reserves, and he's co-founder of Combatants for Peace. Yonatan, I'd ask you to comment on two separate issues here. One is yesterday we were in touch with the Free Gaza Movement, and their ship, the Human Dignity, was sailing from Cyprus to Gaza in international waters when it was intercepted by a group of Israeli gunboats and forced to turn back. I consider that a violation of international law, and certainly this is something that the U.S. has so far turned a blind eye to. I also have dispatches from today in Gaza. This about the Al-Quds Hospital in Gaza City. The middle building of the complex is on fire, following a hit by a shell on the top floor. The hospital tried to bring in the fire brigade, but the Israeli army said they couldn't. That particular building doesn't have patients in it, but it's very close to the wards, has a shared basement. The whole hospital is being evacuated as the fire is spreading too fast. And in earlier dispatches, there were two more rocket strikes on the hospital around lunchtime. One went through the hospital wall into the pharmacy, the other hit the neighboring cultural center, and medics went to put the fire out there. One family was crying on the hospital stairs. They had fled their home in fear, but the Israeli snipers shot at them, got the father in the leg and one daughter with the bullet going through one cheek and out the other. Two medics went to get the other daughter, but more families were out in the street trying to flee to the hospital, with grown men crying in fear. Many men had been taken from flats, leaving only women and children. Snipers and Palestinian fighters are active in the area, too. No coordination was possible with Israeli forces. 500 people were gotten to safety with white flags, and people in Israel calling through the government. So we're getting these dispatches, and we have to rely on them because the Israeli army will not permit outside media to observe what they're doing there. But the reports we're getting are extremely dire, and again, they suggest an incredibly disproportionate Israeli action.
Yeah. I can just tell you that it's sad, and I'm asking the pilots, I'm asking the... You know, the politicians. I'm asking the people who listen to us now and the Jewish community in the States and President-elect Obama, you know, what are you waiting for? What do you want to see? Do you want to see a death camp? Do you want to see, you know, that people burn children? What do you want to see now? We have all these horrible facts, all these things happening right now, and people are still silent. And, you know, I can just tell you that as an activist, in the last few days, I was in Israel, and we stood in front of the Air Force bases trying to call on the pilots to refuse. Some other activists a few days before tried to block the road to the Air Force base and were arrested for a few days. There is an ongoing resistance happening right now in the Israeli society together with the Palestinian residents of Israel. We don't get enough voice. I urge you, if it's possible for you in your program, to have every now and then voices from the Israeli and the peace movement or the anti-occupation movement, people talking on your program and in other programs. Maybe we can raise this different voice to the American people, because people have to know the simple fact. And the simple fact is that all these dead people right now in Gaza are being killed using American ammunition and American warplanes. All the Israeli helicopters, warplanes, aircraft, whatever, it's all being manufactured in the U.S. We get more than $2 billion of military aid every year, and we use it to bomb and to kill innocent people in Gaza. And people have to feel responsible as if it's their money, because it's their money. Whenever you go and buy something in the shop, some of your tax is going to pay to this ammunition and to these bombs that are killing now innocent children in Gaza. And people have to feel that, you know, it's not just me who has to refuse to be part of these war crimes. It's every one of you. Every one of you has this responsibility and has to use it. And regarding the Free Gaza Ship, I admire what they are doing, and I hope that I can even participate one day in their journeys. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great example of a nonviolent activity that can both help people in Gaza and also raise awareness. The problem is the level of criminality of the Israeli army now is so high that a little crime like stopping this boat is almost nothing compared to all the other things that they're doing.
I understand. Yonatan, we have a caller. Billy, join us. Billy, you're on the air.
You know, when I look at the map, I see these all these Arab countries that are, you know, just mostly desert, empty of big populations. And when I hear your rhetoric about the opening of prison and how they're all being trapped in that little area, I wonder why they're not in Jordan and Egypt and Iraq and Iran. And why can't they move to those places?
Well, those are not their home, Billy.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, that's, you know, at this point, we're talking about people who are killing each other, and if we want the killing to stop, we got to be able to come up with an answer that's better than that.
Okay, well, on one hand, I certainly take your point that other Arab nations should step up and do more than supply weapons, okay? But I think that it's kind of racist to suggest that the Palestinians should leave Gaza or the West Bank and just move somewhere else to end this this conflict.
Yeah, I guess they should just keep. Once all the Jews are dead, there won't be any more problems.
Oh, Billy,
well,
come on! What a crock!
This is the better answer. I don't still get.
Can I
refer to Billy's question?
Yes, I got about 20 seconds. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay, Billy, I urge you to look into the Arab Initiative or the Saudi Arabia Initiative. Read about it in the internet or Google it. I'm sure that you'll find very, very interesting facts about that. There is an initiative by the Arab countries. All of them signed it, offering Israel complete peace and normalization if we agree to withdraw to the 1967 borders.
Jonathan Shapira, thank you for your voice. I'll
thank
talk
you very
with you
much.
Again. Thank you, sir.
IBEW is the proud sponsor of our progressive coverage of the historic Obama inauguration, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. 750,000 strong is poised to contribute to President Obama's plans for a green economy and our new energy future. Our members are the skilled workforce with the most experience in solar and wind turbine installation, and we have the training programs to supply the skilled labor for our green future. The IBEW is on the front lines, the power lines of the fight for clean energy, from small commercial jobs to massive alternative energy projects, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. The IBEW has a proven track record of professional, high-quality solar and wind installation. Visit our website at IBEW.org. And thanks to every IBEW member who helped bring a new day to Washington. IBEW, helping to transform America's energy.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Everyone survives when an airliner ditches in New York's Hudson River.
The pilot said, "You guys got a brace for a hard impact." And that's when everyone started, to be honest, saying prayers.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where Barack Obama wins a big victory over a very big pot of money.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A pilot's skill and quick thinking saved 155 lives this afternoon. U.S. Airways Flight 1549 to Charlotte had just taken off from LaGuardia Airport when it apparently ran into some birds and both engines failed. Jay McDonald was a passenger.
Less than 2 minutes up in the air, it was a big boom. Everybody smelled smoke. We lost altitude, and it looked like we were going to Newark because they weren't turning around. And then as we got lower and lower, the pilot said, brace for impact, and we landed.
Landed almost as if the river were a runway. Witnesses on the ground like Brian Milan were amazed at what they saw.
I'm looking out the window, looking toward New Jersey. I see this airplane coming down the middle of the Hudson heading south. And he's descending. It's like, I see, where's this guy going? And he literally goes into the Hudson.
It was 20 degrees. The water temperature was 41. Ferry boats plying the river were first on the scene, and not a moment too soon, says passenger Jeff Kalaje.
I just kept saying, relax, relax. Women and children first. And then it just started filling with water quick. So people were jumping out of the plane into the boats.
They were cold and wet, but no one was seriously hurt. New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg, a pilot himself, says the U.S. Airways captain did a masterful job.
I had a long conversation with the pilot. He walked the plane twice after everybody else was off and tried to verify that there was nobody else on board and assures us there were not.
The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating. Now this.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step one, go to the Home Depot. Step two, get $5 off all 1 gallon cans and $20 off all 5 gallon buckets of beautiful Behr paint. Step three, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1 gallon cans and $20 off all 5 gallon buckets of Behr paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 19th. U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
The Senate assured today that the Treasury will have more money to pump into the economy.
After intense lobbying by President-elect Obama and a promise he'd personally sign off on how the money is spent, the Senate narrowly voted to release the second $350 billion of financial bailout money to try to stabilize the economy. Republican Senator Sam Brownback was opposed.
This has ended up being a rather large slush fund.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid agreed the Bush administration did a bad job with the first half of the money, but says the new president will do better.
With our economy battered and further damage possibly still to come, we must give our new president every tool to try to fix this economy.
This was the only vote needed, so the money will now be released. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In just an hour, President Bush delivers his farewell address to the nation.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. In reflecting on his 8 years in office, President Bush will admit to having experienced setbacks. He'll say there are things he would do differently if given the chance. But he'll tell us he always acted in the best interests of the country, and he'll remind us America has gone more than 7 years without another terror attack.
The president will comment on the airliner accident in New York. Barack Obama's nominee for Attorney General, Eric Holder, faced some tough questions at his confirmation hearing today. CBS News correspondent Barry Vagnato has that.
In a soft voice, Holder made it loud and clear he'd approach the terror war differently.
Waterboarding is torture.
And
Guantanamo will be closed.
Although he admits processing detainees there will take time, his waterboarding stand challenged by Texas Republican John Cornyn.
If that were the only thing standing between you and the death of tens of thousands of Americans, you would decline to use that.
The nominee also criticized for supporting controversial clemencies for fugitive financier Mark Rich and 16 violent Puerto Rican nationalists.
An inexplicable pardon.
Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions. But Holder wasn't hurt, and he promised once confirmed he'd rid the Justice Department of politics.
Basically do a damage assessment. How has the institution been harmed?
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow. Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Moe. There's even free phone support with real live people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
Hey, honey, notice anything different about me?
Yeah, I do. There's some guy on the back of your bike. And is that a megaphone?
She's the hottest biker on two wheels, brains, beauty, and the need for speed.
I saved so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I bought a hype man.
She has got it all. What?
I don't know. What?
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
That's right.
Call today or visit Geico.com to see how much you...
What?
I don't know. What?
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
That's right.
Call today or visit Geico.com to see how much you could save.
A ruling from the super-secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court angers civil libertarians.
Because of decisions like this one, we've become less free as Americans.
Mark Rottenberg of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, CBS News correspondent Dan Revive, has details.
It's only the second time in more than 30 years that a ruling by this court has been made public. We learn now the judges on this panel last August endorsed the warrantless wiretap program. The ruling forced private telecommunications companies to cooperate with the Bush administration in intercepting phone calls and emails where one side of the conversation could reasonably be expected to be someone overseas, someone suspected of involvement with terrorism.
The Justice Department says it's pleased with the ruling.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend...
Vice President Dick Cheney returned to the Senate chamber today to administer the oath of office to Roland Burris, appointed by Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to finish Barack Obama's term. Burris is now officially a U.S. Senator. Hillary Clinton said...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm a little late getting started because I was listening to the news. Thanks for that reminder, Scott.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Just a little late getting started because I was getting newsed up. That Pfizer decision really steams me.
Heart is a blue. Shoots up to the stony ground. There's no room. No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. And you're not leaving anywhere. You thought you found a friend.
Every week about this time, we set aside an hour to talk about military and veterans issues. And our contributor is Scott Dick. He served in the Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army, where he retired at the rank of major. And he helps me understand Pentagon Think, those acronyms, and, just the whole way that things work. Scott, thanks for joining me again today.
It's always a pleasure, Peter.
And I appreciate that instant message about the news. I was checking because I had heard about this FISA court ruling, and it does stun me that secretly last August they ruled that all this wiretapping is legal. And, boy, that bugs me.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So the Constitution, I guess, really doesn't apply to whom or what, Peter? I'm a little confused. I guess warrantless wiretapping is okay.
Apparently,
the right spin on it.
Apparently it is. And that's not the way I read the Fourth Amendment. And, of course, we've had this problem of Democrats selling out on this issue. And so, I'm sorry, I usually am more composed than this, but that news really hits me hard because it pains me how Pelosi and Feinstein and Rockefeller went out of their way to try to legalize the intentional lawbreaking of this administration. And so to hear that court rule in this manner, you know, in the final days of the Bush administration, and they're actually reporting on a decision they made months ago, it sucks.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, if you look at the composition of the FISA court, it's a three-judge panel, two are Republicans and one is a Democrat. I'd like to see how they voted just because, what next? Are they going to rule that torture is okay because it wasn't done against an American citizen, just a prisoner, or I'm...
Well, this court doesn't have jurisdiction over that, so that's one consolation. And a little later this hour, I want to talk about the remarkable comments of Susan Crawford, a woman military officer who really is in charge of the Gitmo tribunals. And she's come out explicitly stating that we have tortured and that it has compromised our ability to try some of these individuals who remain prisoners at Guantanamo Bay.
Well, not indentured. It's prohibits our ability to bring them to trial because we can't use the evidence in torture, and they certainly don't want to discuss in open court their torture techniques and what they did. So
yeah.
they really shot themselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. What I meant was, Peter, by they being people who would look at something like the FISA or torture or something else and then try to stretch into the fantasy world of Jack Bauer on television to legitimize something that is so illegitimate and say, well, it's for the good of the country. We are at war. We are? I hadn't heard that we are at war. I've heard the Republicans claim that we are at war, but I don't see a war declaration. And the simple signing statement by the president, say, waiving all rights and doing all that is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be good enough for the people who may find him, you know, indictable under the Geneva Convention, violation of the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
Scott Dick with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll come back to the torture issue. I want to try to retain some continuity here. Just before you joined us, Scott, we were talking with a former Israeli Air Force reservist, Yonatan Shapira, who articulated, in a powerful way, his concerns about his nation's violent incursion into Gaza. and the massacres that he described, or I described and he labeled as such. And Karen from Sacramento didn't stay on the line, but she wanted to weigh in support of Yonatan's point of view. And she also emailed saying she wanted more information about the Free Gaza Movement ship that was turned back in international waters yesterday, our time. The boat is called the Spirit of Humanity, and if you go to freegaza.org, they have a tracking map that you can access via the Internet, and you can see the current position of that ship. It was clearly in international waters when it was intercepted by multiple Israeli gunboats last night, our time, and we have learned in the meantime that that boat, the Spirit of Humanity, has turned back to Cyprus, and apparently was sufficiently threatened by the Israeli Navy boats that they didn't want to continue. And I think Jimmy in Eureka here wants to comment on that. Jimmy, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick. Oh, Jimmy's not there?
Jimmy or Anthony?
Jimmy's not there. Oh, it's Anthony? Anthony. Okay, I hear you, Anthony, but I hear your radio in the background, so can you turn that down? Hello, Anthony? Oh, we lost Anthony. Okay. We've got Gina on line one. Hello, Gina. Welcome.
Hi. It's time to start impeaching Dianne Feinstein.
For? I'm not opposed to it, but just tell me why.
Why? Look, for treason. She's gone against the Constitution. That's treason. Besides that, that's our rights. I mean, God.
Now, are you referring explicitly to the FISA ruling?
Yeah. Of what? Hey, what's the point? If we don't follow the Constitution, if we could just pick and choose which parts of it we want, we got the English telling us already that we're not any good because we're going downhill, and they think they're going. I mean, we've been fighting their damn wars for us, but I just heard that before I turned you on. But we do have recourses. If the people don't start standing up. I mean, it's time. We are just raised the biggest damn stink. The fact, my God, and that Comitazzi or whatever.
Posse Comitatus.
We ought to take everybody out of the Congress by impeachment and or maybe pray that lightning will strike them or something. we got to do something about this. This is just too bad. And this thing with Israel, we got so much blood on our hands now till we ought to be turning red.
All right. Gina, I hear your passion, and I understand your point of view. Scott, you want to comment on that?
There's nothing else I can say top that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as you look at the situation in Gaza, any fresh comments that you'd like to offer?
Just they have done nothing to change my original point of view in that they are hurting themselves. They're creating a longer-term enemy than they are solving any kind of problem, any kind of conflict between the Gazans and Israel. The Israelis, there is a peace movement in Israel. We can't paint all the Israelis, but the Israeli government, and I know, I notice how in the media, the traditional media, there's a lot of letters saying anybody who criticizes Israel, they're anti-Jewish, they're anti-Semitic, it's a crock. What this is Israel, the government of Israel, is creating a full-time anti-Israeli people movement. You know, there are ways to deal with the people launching the rockets into Hamas without main gun tank fire into UN schools when schools are still in session.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to make that legitimate, Peter. There's no reason other than they can say, well, they were firing rockets out of the school. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. And it didn't play for the Germans to bomb the UK during World War II. We said, well, you know, the Germans are hiding in munitions factories, so we have to bomb the heck out of cities. But that was a world war. This is nothing like that. And yet they're using the excuse that Hamas fighters are using mosques and hospitals and schools. And it's as if every other citizen in Gaza is a Hamas fighter launching rockets. And it gives them a license to shoot anywhere they please, even though there is an international law on conflict that doesn't allow that. So they're completely ignoring it, and the United States has been completely useless. Of course, that's the leadership shown by the President of the United States and Condoleezza Rice. They have both been useless.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Scott, as I look at this, I just cringe at the way the Congress, including so-called progressives, embrace the doctrine of preemption when it's employed here by Israel, but don't when it was badly mangled and applied by the Bush administration. And so we have some people, and I'm thinking of Jan Schakowsky and Barbara Boxer and others, who are openly progressive on so many issues and were sharply critical of the Bush administration for its unilateral efforts over the last few years. And yet, when it comes to Israel, they will embrace this preemptive doctrine that they eschewed when Bush did.
Not only did they embrace it, but the Democrats are the ones who introduced the resolution supporting Israel 100% in the incursion and fighting the terrorist group Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get out ahead of the Republicans before the Republicans could usurp them and make them look like they were weak on terrorism. And when we talk about, I had this conversation with a caller on my show, it was with you last week, with, you know, 4, 5, 6 rockets hit, and then they respond with main gun tank fire and 105-millimeter artillery rounds. Those are what they call area rounds. They don't have a specific target. There are no smart artillery rounds that the Israelis employ. And when you add cluster bombs and white phosphorus, and of course Israel has denied using white phosphorus, but the pictures are clear unless they're totally photoshopped.
Yeah, yeah.
But those aren't the flare trails from their fighters and their helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tragedy, and it's going to haunt Israel for a long time.
We'll take a break and return and talk more with Scott Dick. We'll talk about Obama's plan to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell, about Susan Crawford admitting that we've tortured, and other issues in terms of military and veterans. You're welcome to join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Can choice be saved? On Thursday, January 22nd, please join Planned Parenthood Marmonte in commemorating the 36th anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Join us for our annual luncheon, Can Obama Save Choice? Attorney Mickey Welsh will address these questions and more. The event will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Monterey on January 22nd from 11:15 to 1:15. Tickets are $25 for students and $35 for general public. For more information and to RSVP, please call Christina at 784-1109, extension 103. That's 784-1109, extension 103.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station
by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Monterey, we have a moving roadway hazard on the northbound 1, just south of Del Monte Boulevard. And in Santa Cruz, on Elba Road at Route 9, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. Making our way over to Hollister-Gilroy, there's an animal in the road on the southbound 1, just south of Cole Road. Also on Tennant Avenue at Foothill Avenue, there is a vehicle on fire, and CHP is on the scene there. In weather, we're having another beautiful sunshiny day. High temperatures range from the mid-60s on the coast to the 70s inland. For tonight, we expect clear skies with lots of stars out. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes into the hour. We're with Scott Dick this hour, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Got some callers on the line. I want to get them into the mix here. Here's John, and it says you're in Corbell. Is that right, John?
Yep.
And where is that?
You know where Eureka is?
Yeah.
It's just past Blue Lake out 299, but actually I live in Maple Creek, but we're too small for a post office or telephone, so we use Corbell.
Okay, cool. I thought maybe you were calling from the Corbell Champagne Works in Sonoma County.
No.
Okay. What's on your mind today, John?
I need to be careful how I ask this question, because I don't want to offend the Marines, because this isn't about them, but the Marines have... And the guards for, you know, dignitaries, people like that. Also, they've taken ground that everybody else is afraid to take. When did Blackwater come in and replace the Marines as the guards on our dignitaries and stuff?
I think Scott can tell us about that.
When the State Department decided to use the contractors instead. And I'm not quite sure why. But the
incompetence on the Marine Corps' part?
It could be a manning or staffing issue more than that. It could have been the Marine Corps' unwillingness to detail that many people to the State Department, because what most people don't know is that when Marines go to embassies, they officially work for the State Department, and they're paid by the State Department, and they're handled, except for a very few small details, are handled by the State Department. They feed, fuel, everything, including pay them. So it would take a Marine battalion, I thought, and Peter and I have talked about this, at least a Marine battalion run with by a lieutenant colonel and a full staff to take care of those diplomats. And I personally think that would have solved a lot of problems. It would have solved the disciplinary problem. It would have solved the equipment problem. It would have solved the giant rape of the American taxpayer by Blackwater problem. It would have decreased the power of Eric Prince and his family in their contributions to the Republican Party. But nobody listens to me.
And nobody, I mean, the government has never given any reason other than we just want to use our buddies or what?
It's classified. They always claim it's classified or proprietary information, or it would give information to terrorists why they used them and how and why they decided, et cetera, et cetera. So there are something like 168 different military-style security contractors operating in Iraq, and many of them are, you know, first-world corporations manned by third-world personnel. So they're collecting the dough and putting the risk on populations that, you know, don't have the same standards that we have, for example.
Right. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, appreciate the call today. Now we got Anthony back, and he's promised to turn his radio down. Hey, Anthony, what's on your mind today?
Is that cool, Peter B.? Is that better?
Sounds much more better.
Now, Peter B. and Scott, I want to ask you one question.
All right.
Why is the United States so biased for Israel? The reason I ask that question is obviously the Catholics and the Protestants killed Jesus Christ. So politically speaking, why is the United States so biased for Israel?
I don't think it's really for religious reasons, so I don't think that the crucifixion of Jesus plays into it, Anthony. But I think it is it's historic, and we have a government in Washington that I think is way too cozy with Israeli interests and the group called AIPAC in particular. And we've seen that AIPAC has been successful in recruiting members of both parties for what I consider to be support for Israel that goes beyond the best interests of the United States of America.
For what reason? Money?
Well, I think it's more geopolitical. There certainly are political contributions that flow to those who support Israel. But I don't necessarily think that's the defining matter. I think a lot of it has to do with political history and a sense that going against the grain will be bad for people politically. So they tend to get on board because it's where the majority is. Scott, do you have an observation?
I disagree with you, Peter. I think it's strictly religious. I think if you look at the people who, let's go to the far right wing conservative religious orders of the United States, they want Armageddon because they want the final battle, because they want the rapture. And they need the support of Israel. They need Israel to be there, to be the centerpiece of this Armageddon, the war to end all wars. And I think people really think that they have religious ties with the Israelis, and they know nothing about the actual Israeli government and how they operate and how they've been operating for decades.
Anthony, thanks for a provocative question. We'll chew on it a little bit more as we continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us, dial in 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Unconstitutional swearing. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Today, a federal court hears a lawsuit to stop the next president from uttering this.
So help me God.
So help me God.
The plaintiffs include atheist Michael Newdow, famous for failing to get under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, and non-theists like the Secular Coalition for America, who say that for the Chief Justice to state, so help me God, goes beyond the oath that is specifically laid out in the Constitution. As the story goes, so help me God was first ad-libbed by George Washington, and nobody had the guts to tell him to do it over. Well, they're going to lose this suit, and even if they won, stopping the Chief Justice from saying it wouldn't stop the President from simply adding it himself, as Washington allegedly did. But to me, the important issue here is, does the oath work? You see, I actually wish they would ban it for a year as a control experiment. Because what have we seen in the last 8 years? 9/11, a war in Iraq over weapons that didn't exist, an inconclusive war in Afghanistan, accusations of unconstitutional torture, an economic catastrophe, and now all-out war between Israel and Hamas. And that was after George W. Bush took the oath twice, each time invoking God's help in preserving, protecting, and defending the Constitution of the United States. It's almost enough to make you think that maybe God doesn't like his name being invoked in that way.
So help me God. So help me God.
Maybe the Almighty wants something a little more humble, such as, may God have mercy on me, an ordinary man. Considering the track record of the current oath, it's worth a try. Now this.
Hey, I'm Pete, owner of Pete's Precious Pets. Wife named it. Anyhow, I used to take care of all my finances on spreadsheets. The system kind of worked, but it took forever, made it hard to tend to the customers and the animals. Anyway, everyone I knew was using Intuit QuickBooks, so I gave it a try. And now I know why it's the best-selling small business financial software, because it tracks all my sales a lot easier and faster than I ever could. Which is good, because the parrots were learning a lot of words I can't repeat here.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross. On the...
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
house and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, our weekly hour with Scott Dick on military and veterans issues. You can call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's
888-573-8372. The magnificent sun. Move yourself to go again. Cold water in the face brings you back to this awful place. Knock on merchants and your bankers. Let's get up and learn those rules.
Today's program and our special progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. And we continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Scott, during the break, you and I were instant messaging a little bit in response to Anthony's call. And just to clarify, I do agree with you in general that religious extremism is at the basis of our blind support for Israel and its extreme policies as we're seeing them played out in the attack on Gaza right now. My point was in response to Anthony's question that I don't think it was the crucifixion a crucifixion of Jesus that cemented the support of evangelicals for Israel. As you point out, their vision of the end times is much more significant than the crucifixion of Christ.
Right. I think, Peter, I think his point was that it's the old man that the Jews killed Christ, and so why would we be allied with the Jewish state?
Because we're a Christian nation, which, of course, I reject as well.
Yeah, of course. But that's, you know, it's out there, and you can still hear that. It exists, and, you know, it's based on ignorance and lack of knowledge of history, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Andy's on the line from New York. Hello, Andy. Welcome.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
Hi, Scott. Fine, thanks.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, in regard to your conversation you're having, I think it's because representatives don't want to be Cynthia McKinney'd.
Well, there is.
They'll have AIPAC all over them.
There is some of that. AIPAC is very powerful, and they have managed to get members of both parties, really, to march to their tune.
That's right. They can get blown out of there by a substitute candidate, fully funded, from all over this country.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's you have to be careful, and it's safer. If, for example, that's why it was so important for the Democrats to get out on this resolution, fully supporting Israel, no matter, you know, how many kids, how many UN schools that they bombard.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to give a shout-out to Jerry McNerney for his support of that Israeli resolution, H.R. 34, full support. Mm. Further clarifying, he's a non-progressive after I spent my time working to get him elected.
Yeah, I've kind of written Jerry McNerney off. I mean, he did get reelected, and for him, I'm happy about that, and it means that it's not a Republican seat, and Richard Pombo can't crawl out of the ground again. But McNerney's been a real disappointment to progressives, and his pivot point was when he went to Iraq in the summer of 2007 and came back and started spouting Bush administration talking points about how things were getting better and the surge was working. And from that point forward, he has declined over a dozen interview requests that we have put out to him and his staff.
Right. Yeah, he fit right into the DLC mode. One other comment, too. Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, I'll call him the butcher from Brooklyn, gave a speech at a demonstration of pro-Israeli supporters at the Israeli embassy. And he made a comment that the Israeli military was text messaging the families of Palestinians before their homes were bombed. And what a country that is. What a military to do that, huh?
Well, Andy, in addition, there are reports that Israel has been using kind of psychological operations against the imprisoned residents of Gaza. By calling them up, and they use voices that sound like accents from other countries, not from Israel or Palestine, but from outside of those two. And apparently they start asking questions, you know, about is your home safe? Are you under attack? And they make it sound like they're sympathetic, but they're actually trolling for information to see if they want to launch an attack on that particular neighborhood. And so, you know, I find that underhanded and insidious, but I guess it kind of fits a pattern there.
Complete collective punishment, you know?
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, this is a typical. I mean, they have the vaunted Mossad. They have the technological capability to text individual homes. That tells me they have the capability of targeting individuals. And they have taken out two members, senior members of the Hamas, and the claim they don't have the capability of countering the rocket attacks except and unless they bomb entire neighborhoods. And it just this kind of technological sophistication just puts that to lie. Anybody who says, oh, well, you know, they've been texting families. Well,
it's a U.S. senator making light of it.
Yeah, you know,
they just love death, man.
I saw
as long as it's not Israeli deaths, boy, it's fine.
I saw it on the a news report that they were actually they were justifying this by texting and dropping leaflets. And you know, if you dropped a leaflet and said, "Get out of your house because there's Hamas there," and there's no Hamas there, what are you supposed to do?
Well, and when you're told to get out of your house, where are you supposed to go? I read a dispatch an hour ago from the Al-Quds Hospital in Gaza City, where a family had gone to take refuge, and as they were headed there, the father was shot in the leg by a sniper, while his daughter was shot through the cheek, and the bullet went through the other cheek. And then they go to the hospital, which is bombed and set on fire.
Not to mention the UN Safe House. Now, remember when the Serbians went to Srebrenica and destroyed that city and butchered those males? That was a UN-safe city. So the UN tells Israelis this is a safe location. It's full of women and children and civilians. Don't bomb us. And precisely after they get the information, they bomb it. The same as Reuters texted the Israelis, told them where their offices were, and less than an hour after they confirmed it again with Israeli army, somebody fired a round through their offices. So there's either a gross lack of discipline in the Israeli military, or this is intentional. And one thing you can say about the Israeli military is that they aren't undisciplined.
Now, this is such an atrocity, and like you said, too, before, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. It is just so awful.
Well, the targeting, you know, you have to look at it as nothing other than the intentional targeting of civilians, because they're at 1,400 something dead.
No, it's what I have is 1,100 right now.
1,100, okay.
5,100 wounded, and I introduced this grisly metaphor, but it's like blowing up the whole barrel, Andy. It's not just shooting a fish,
right?
Or it's killing all the fish in the barrel, and in order to get one. So it and again, the silence from Washington in trying to really impose a ceasefire and stop this incursion. It appears to me that they're allowing a discussion of a ceasefire so Israel can continue and essentially consolidate whatever gains they feel they've made.
But what, Peter, it makes no strategic sense whatsoever. It's like letting the CIA use torture in Abu Ghraib and in Gitmo and letting that out for the world to hear, the same as what they're doing in Gaza and Israel, the intelligence agencies and the military, and the nation... Both nations are hurt
way, way, way more than any kind of military gains or intelligence gains that either the CIA could get or the Mossad in the military in Israel could get. And who gets that? You know, Bush, if he had a brain, he would say, stop this now. He would never let us start to begin with, because this does nothing for Middle East peace. This does nothing. And they think if they wipe out Hamas, that suddenly the Palestinians will become peace-loving and they won't re-elect Hamas. It'll be a new organization with a different name, and it'll be an entirely new generation of people willing, because they've seen their entire neighborhoods destroyed, their friends and families killed. They'll be willing, out of sheer lack of any other way of dealing with Israelis, of strapping a bomb onto their chest and getting on a bus full of Israeli school children, because they don't have any other choice, because nobody has given them a different choice.
Let's, Andy, thank you for your call. I want to move along here. Becky in Eureka. Thanks for your call. Becky, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to say a couple of things. Number one, I don't know why Bush isn't already standing trial for the crimes that he's committed. Number two, this is the first time I've ever heard of our government hiring a bunch of vigilantes with Blackwater. Third, I think that the American people need to hold everybody responsible in office. That's Democrat or Republican. The ones that are in office have committed crimes against women and children. They've broken every law in our Constitution, and I have not heard one word about holding any of them responsible or pardoning them. I want President Obama to say that he is not going to pardon these people, and if they've committed war crimes, that they're going to be prosecuted.
Well, I don't think he plans to pardon any of them. Bush will, probably. We'll find out by midday Tuesday if that takes place.
Can you do that?
Yes, he can.
Yeah, it's an unlimited pardon power by the president.
Now, he can pardon himself?
Nope. No, he can't pardon himself, but he can pardon anybody else.
We need to hold them accountable like we did the Nazis for what they did.
And the other thing about this ship,
now, I'm only 50 years old, but I remember my great-grandmother talking about the horror that everybody in the world had turned their backs on this ship full of Israelis, and then...
Jews, not Israelis. They were Jews from Europe, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, that the whole world would not accept them into their country. So they floated around, going to all these other countries, and then the Nazis blew them out of the water and killed all of them. And yet we've had one of our ships turned around that was going to give aid to people. I didn't understand this.
How can we say we're
a democracy?
Okay, it wasn't one of our ships. It's an independent group. The ship came from Cyprus, and it was in international waters, and Israel had no authority to force them to turn around. But
that's right.
We
should have been supporting them.
Well, once again, we have unilateralism. We have preemptive military action. And we have this aggressive assertion of power, whatever it takes. And there is no cop on the beat. And it doesn't sound like Barack Obama wants to take on that role directly. Thank you for your call, Becky. Now to Brian, listening in Manchester, New Hampshire, on the mighty 1510 from Boston, WWZN. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Good evening. Scott, I'm sure you agree that any, especially the American military, is if we know we're not torturing people, then it's got to help the morale of our troops, our regular troops I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Blackwater or criminals like that. I'm sure you agree that Mr. Holder's statement today that waterboarding is clearly torture is got to be a welcome bit of sanity, at least, to come from the new administration.
Yes, that's yes. I like to say yes, and the military, we have a POW that was in Hanoi Hilton 8 years. His name's Phil Butler. He knows John McCain personally.
Wow.
And he has said and written all about this, about how the thing that kept them sane was that they knew their country would never do to them what the Vietnamese were doing to them.
Right.
And yet here we are. And he's actually calling for the prosecution of George Bush directly. And it's clear, there's no denying, I don't care what the right-wing nuts say, there's no denying that the United States has violated the Geneva Convention. Now, it's a matter of, do Americans know what that means, and do they care? And if you support the troops, you have to care.
We fought on the largest event in human history, World War II, that took 78 million human lives to come to those Geneva Conventions, for God's sakes, and this little blue blood brat laughs all over them. It's disgusting. But I had a question for you, Scott, about, I think our empire, we have a vassal state named Israel who can't be relied upon, and it's much like I'm going back over the book Nemesis by Chalmers Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He has a great quote by Anatoly Levin in his book America Right or Wrong, An Anatomy of American Nationalism. Just very quickly, he says that you talk about the American Empire. What that lady talked about before about this ship in Cuba, that was the Nazi Empire. That was a truly evil empire, and it made us allies of the Soviet Union eventually. But he talked about the American Empire can no longer raise enough taxes or soldiers. It is increasingly indebted, and key vassal states are no longer reliable. The result is that the empire can no longer pay for enough of the professional troops it needs to fulfill its self-assumed imperial task, end quote. What do you think of that statement, Scott?
Well,
are we overstretched at this point?
Well, the generals have been saying we've been overstretched for a couple of years now, and unless we become a truly militaristic nation, we can't expand our military much more.
Right.
The only thing that's going to save us from the pylon effect, from countries that no longer respect us or fear us, our massive nuclear weapons arsenal, and that will keep people at bay, and that's why the Republicans were so quick to abrogate the ABM treaty, and now they're doing research that Gates has embraced to create the new and improved nuclear weapon and to keep us, you know, current. In other words, keep people afraid of us.
Brian, thank you for your call, and Scott, stand by.
Okay.
We'll continue in just a moment. And one thing you won't hear on Bush's farewell address 20 minutes from now is that he fulfilled the wildest dreams of Osama bin Laden, deploying American troops on Islamic soil, bankrupting our nation in the process. Osama bin Laden, he's the happiest man in the whole wide world tonight. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. We have a traffic hazard on County Road G16 at Canada Way. Look out for the pitchfork in the turn lane. And on the one just north of County Road G16, there is a collision with no injuries. We have a report of a vehicle on fire on the one just south of Carpenter Street on the right-hand shoulder. Also on the northbound one just north of Moonross Avenue, there is a shovel in the number one lane. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on Cherryville Avenue at Main Street. And in Hollister-Gilroy, we've got metal debris in the right lane on southbound Highway 85, just south of Cottle Road. Well, that's your traffic on AM 540. Have a safe commute and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
The winning Otters are at the Kelt Bed this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. as San Francisco State comes to town. Thursday, 7:30, KRXA 540.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues, referred by the court system, employer-referred, or self-referred. Sun Street also takes insurance. At Sun Street, you're provided with one-on-one and group sessions that focus on relapse prevention, parenting skills, anger management, and family issues, and introduces the 12-step program. You can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Just go to sunstreetcenters.org to sign up. sunstreetcenters.org.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Bush is going to say farewell to the nation. Don't misunderstand him. Right after the top of the hour news, we'll join the president's mangled speech in progress and then take your calls next hour in the free speech zone. You know my number. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, Scott, I planned to bring this up a little earlier, but we had a rush of phone calls there, people who wanted to talk to us about these issues this hour.
And oh, wait, Peter, before you go there, I don't think what you said about President Bush is correct. I think he's going to say something else. I think he's going to say fall well to the nation.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So this is quite remarkable that Susan J. Crawford, who is the official essentially in charge of the whole monkey trial kangaroo court system at Guantanamo Bay, has gone public with an interview that she gave to the Washington Post, Bob Woodward, and he actually printed it instead of waiting for his next book. But she basically said that when it comes to Al-Qahtani, that flatly America did torture. She described a series of techniques that, in her view, no single one was torture, but they amounted to torture in the way they were applied. Something like 45 days straight of 18-hour-a-day interrogations, the loud music, the cold temperatures, and other kinds of deprivation. And this really is a very important admission, because it came on the same day that Dick Cheney was out there once again saying, oh, we don't torture.
Yeah, Peter, any way you shake it, those are all violations of the Geneva Convention, and I believe the Uniform Code of Military Justice is prohibited for the military to do that. It's against federal law. The Geneva Convention specifically prohibits any kind of treatment for anyone detained, and if they're suspected of war crimes, even war criminals are protected. True war criminals are protected. That's why we didn't summarily execute the past leaders of, say, Japan and Germany. They received a trial in a courtroom. And as far as I know, even those heinous criminals were not tortured by the United States before we hung them or they committed suicide. And you could go through the rest of the dictators that we've dispatched, including Saddam Hussein. Didn't he even have a trial?
Well, kind of.
So the Geneva Convention demands, even in the case of the most heinous war criminals, that they have a trial, and then they could be dispatched with, according to, you know, the adjudication of the trial. You can't torture people in advance to find out if they're you know, if they know anything or if they're guilty.
Well, next hour we'll hear some of Cheney's dissembling on that very subject. But right now we've got a clip from Fox News Channel. And this is a response to testimony given by Jack Bauer on a television show, 24. And we know from Philippe Sand's book, Torture Team, that 24 was watched by the team at Guantanamo as they developed the torture policies. And so Jack Bauer basically, gives this faux testimony to the Senate, defending torture and how valuable it is, and that led to this commentary on the Fox News Channel.
Jack Bauer's runaway hit, 24, has premiered over the last couple of nights, and a lot of people are talking about how it is mirroring what's going on in this country about what is appropriate when it comes to roughing up somebody who might try to commit mass genocide.
Oh, and they don't want CIA agents. Even Obama said this yesterday.
Looking over their shoulders.
Don't wait, exactly.
Like Jack
right.
Bauer, and we're going to play that clip coming up, Mary Catherine. Jack Bauer is getting... They're trying to put Jack Bauer in jail.
I'm not going to stand for it.
That's O'Reilly.
There's a great, great piece.
Here comes Glenn Beck.
From Jack Bauer. He was, when he was testifying in front of Congress, and I'm telling you, this is all Americans want to hear from our public servants.
That is exactly how, in Friends of FoxNews.com, I think 99% of our viewers feel.
In particular, in that clip, you know, the guy goes, you tortured him. And he goes, well, it probably was torture under your definition. But ask the people whose lives I saved whether or not it was worth me going over the edge.
Right.
They would, you ask the average person, is it okay to do something, rough somebody up to save lives?
Yes.
You ask the person on the street, they'd say, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Wow. Scott, this is a shameful display of rationalizations and situational ethics, and they're just plain wrong. But they believe that by pandering to a television character and by offering their projections of the American public, that everything's all right and it's okay to torture.
Well, Peter, it's much more despairing than that. These people are on television, which gives them credibility just by the fact that they're on television, and people hear parts, and they hear somebody was testifying in front of Congress. No, they weren't testifying in front of Congress. It was one actor speaking lines to other actors.
Yeah.
And more, the whole thing is such a fantasy and wrapped inside of stupidity, inside of a tragedy, because Americans watch this and think this is actually has gone on, and there's some kind of discussion, some kind of level-headed discussion about torture.
But Scott, it all gets really good ratings. Who cares about anything else?
It's the, you know, anybody that, in the military, I mean, that's confirmed, that the military watched 24, and they were totally in love with it.
Yeah.
Those guys and their supervisors, they should have not only been fired, they should be prosecuted, not only for torture, but for stupidity.
Scott, thank you for a powerful hour. We'll do it again next week.
You're welcome, Peter. Anytime.
Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show, and he follows me tonight at 6 on our flagship radio station, KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Doctors have the American Medical Association. Corporations have their Chamber of Commerce. Lawyers have the American Bar Association. What do the working men and women of America have? Their unions. Unions allow individuals to band together so we can bargain as a united group with powerful employers for fair wages and decent health and pension benefits, using the same right to freedom of association and collective action that all other groups do. The rights of working people have been under assault, especially in the last 8 years. President Obama's inauguration marks a new era for workers. His new labor secretary, Hilda Solis, has actually worked union jobs, and President Obama has promised to sign the Employee Free Choice Act so America's workers get the full benefit of their rights. The men and women of IBEW invite you to join us in passing the Employee Free Choice Act. Find out more at IBEW.org. A message from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For many New Yorkers, it was reminiscent of 9/11 when an airliner came in low over the Hudson River.
It's coming down, 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 and just right in the water.
Yeah. We thought it was going to veer in and hit a building, actually.
It was pretty scary.
And imagine how the passengers felt. The plane had just taken off from LaGuardia Airport when it apparently hit some birds and lost power in both engines. Jeff Kalaje was on board.
The left engine just blew. Fire, flames coming out of it, and I was looking right at it because I was sitting right there. And it started smelling a lot like gasoline. And a couple minutes after that, the pilot said, you guys got to brace for a hard impact. And that's when everyone started, to be honest, saying prayers.
Those prayers were answered. The Airbus 320 made a smooth landing and stayed afloat while ferries and rescue boats saved all 155 passengers and crew. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has details of this amazing story.
It's about 4,000 feet in the air when the pilots radio that they've been hit by a flock of birds. First one engine goes out, quickly the other engine goes out. Now the plane is literally dead in the air with no power. And the pilots radio air traffic controllers and say, I'm going to try to glide to Teterboro, a small airport in North Jersey. When it becomes clear that's not even a possibility, they turn the plane. They keep it under control with no power. They miss the GW Bridge by 900 feet and then feather the plane down to the water.
New York Governor David Paterson says New York's had its miracle on 34th Street. He calls this a miracle on the Hudson. We're listening in at the White House right now. President Bush is applauded as he begins his farewell address to the nation.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Before an audience in the East Room, President Bush will thank the American people for his 8 years in office. He'll concede that many of his decisions can be the focus of legitimate debate. He'll say that some may not agree with the tough decisions he made, but he hopes they'll agree he was willing to make tough decisions.
Mr. Bush will say there are things he would do differently if given the chance. Reportedly, Bank of America and the Treasury Department are close to an agreement that would provide the bank with up to $20 billion in new government support. The remaining money in the TARP fund was freed up by the Senate today.
After intense lobbying by incoming President Barack Obama, who promised to personally sign off on how the money will be spent, the Senate voted to free up the second half of the financial industry bailout funds, $350 billion. Many in Congress are furious at how the Bush administration spent the first $350 billion, but Democrat Chris Dodd says the economy is in such dire straits, they have to do this.
It will give this new president the chance that all of us want him to have. To get our country moving in the right direction.
This is the only vote needed to allow the incoming Obama administration to spend the money. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Dow up 12 points. This is CBS News.
After 9 years, 187 episodes, and countless cases.
Where is
the only thing we can count on is the evidence.
CSI's Gil Grissom is leaving Las Vegas forever.
I will never forget the things you've taught me.
Don't miss a CSI milestone and an historic television event.
It feels like Grissom's last big game. I want to win it for him.
When Grissom says goodbye.
It's the right time for me to go.
An all-new CSI, tonight only on CBS.
Are you looking to hire experienced software and hardware engineers, DBAs, storage engineers, project managers? Then look to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one online technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Post your open technology positions on Dice to access the best tech talent, or search through thousands of resumes from qualified engineering and tech professionals from all across the country. Visit Dice.com. Dice.com.
Dental hygiene can be deadly in the wrong hands, which is why a Florida jail is taking toothbrushes away from inmates. CBS News correspondent Peter King explains.
You probably didn't think that you were holding a lethal weapon in your hand as you brushed your teeth this morning. The people who run the Lee County, Florida jail would beg to differ.
9 times out of 10, when we can do these searches, we find homemade weapons made out of the regular style toothbrushes.
Sergeant David Velez says inmates have been known to sharpen the handles.
They're basically referred to as shanks.
So regular toothbrushes are out. Brushes that slide onto the finger are in. Velez says this should cut down on injuries to inmates and corrections officers and save the taxpayers money that would have gone to patch them up. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
A pizza place in Worcester, Massachusetts is bad luck for one man. He was shot outside Golden Pizza back in April. On Tuesday, police say he got into a scuffle on the same spot and took three more slugs. He's hospitalized. The attacker fled. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to remove cash from a can of paint. Step 1, go to the Home Depot. Step 2, get $5 off all 1 gallon cans and $20 off all 5 gallon buckets of beautiful Behr paint. Step 3, put color on your walls and all the cash you saved in your wallet.
The Home Depot has lowered the price on the paint supplies you need most. And now get $5 off all 1 gallon cans and $20 off all 5 gallon buckets of Behr paint. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through January 19th. U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
George.
George W. Bush,
we got a president so bad,
is stumbling through his final address to the nation.
Got the job.
He offered thanks to Laura and a whole range of other people around him. Now let's join the president's speech in progress, and you'll get some of my comments along the way.
Is the universal gift of Almighty God, and that liberty and justice light the path to peace. This is the belief that gave birth to our nation. And in the long run, advancing this belief is the only practical way to protect our citizens. When people live in freedom, they do not willingly choose leaders who pursue campaigns of terror. When people have hope in the future, they will not cede their lives to violence and extremism. So around the world, America is promoting human liberty, human rights, and human dignity. We're standing with dissidents and young democracies.
Oh, geez.
Providing AIDS medicine to dying patients, to bring dying patients back to life, and sparing mothers and babies from malaria. And this great republic, born alone in liberty, is leading the world toward a new age when freedom belongs to all nations. For 8 years, we've also strived to expand opportunity and hope here at home.
What delusions this man
across
possesses.
Across our country, students are rising to meet higher standards in public schools. A new Medicare prescription drug benefit is bringing peace of mind to seniors and the disabled. Every taxpayer pays lower income taxes. The addicted and suffering are finding new hope through faith-based programs. Vulnerable human life is better protected. Funding for our veterans has nearly doubled. America's air and water and lands are measurably cleaner. And the federal bench includes wise new members like Justice Sam Alito and Chief Justice John Roberts.
This is painful, I'll tell you. This is Karl Rove's spin at its max.
We rose to meet them. Facing the prospect of a financial collapse, we took decisive measures to safeguard our economy.
Yeah, where's the money, W?
These are very tough times for hardworking families. But the toll would be far worse if we had not acted.
Oh, yeah?
All Americans are in this together. And together, with determination and hard work, we will restore our economy to the path of growth. We will show the world once again the resilience of America's free enterprise system. Like all who have held this office before me, I have experienced setbacks. And there are things I would do differently if given the chance. Yet I've always acted with the best interests of our country in mind. I have followed my conscience and done what I thought was right. You may not agree with some of the tough decisions I have made.
Lots of them, W.
But I hope you can agree that I was willing to make the tough decisions.
No, you were just stupid.
The decades ahead will bring more hard choices for our country. And there are some guiding principles that should shape our course. While our nation is safer than it was 7 years ago, the gravest threat to our people remains another terrorist attack. Our enemies are patient and determined to strike again. America did nothing to seek or deserve this conflict.
Oh, come on.
But we have been given solemn responsibilities, and we must meet them.
We're just victims, that's right.
We must resist complacency. We must keep our resolve, and we must never let down our guard. At the same time, we must continue to engage the world with confidence and clear purpose. In the face of threats from abroad, it can be tempting to seek comfort by turning inward. But we must reject isolationism and its companion, protectionism. Retreating behind our borders would only invite danger. In the 21st century, security and prosperity at home depend on the expansion of liberty abroad. If America does not lead the cause of freedom, that cause will not be led. As we address these challenges and others we cannot foresee tonight, America must maintain our moral clarity.
Moral clarity.
I've often spoken to you about good and evil, and this has made some uncomfortable. But good and evil are present in this world, and between the two, there can be no compromise. Murdering the innocent to advance an ideology is wrong every time, everywhere.
Even in Gaza,
freeing people from oppression and despair is eternally right. This nation must continue to speak out for justice and truth. We must always be willing to act in their defense and to advance the cause of peace. President Thomas Jefferson once wrote, "I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past. As I leave the house he occupied two centuries ago, I share that optimism. America is a young country, full of vitality, constantly growing and renewing itself. And even in the toughest times, we lift our eyes to the broad horizon ahead. I have confidence in the promise of America because I know the character of our people. This is a nation that inspires immigrants to risk everything for the dream of freedom. This is a nation where citizens show calm in times of danger and compassion in the face of suffering. We see examples of America's character all around us. And Laura and I have invited some of them to join us in the White House this evening.
Little photo op, sure.
We see America's character and Dr. Tony Rekasner. The principal opened a new charter school from the ruins of Hurricane Katrina. We see it in Julio Medina, a former inmate who leads a faith-based program to help prisoners returning to society. We see it in Staff Sergeant Aubrey McDade, who charged into an ambush in Iraq and rescued three of his fellow Marines. We see America's character in Bill Krassoff, a surgeon from California. His son, Nathan, a Marine, gave his life in Iraq. When I met Dr. Krassoff and his family, he delivered some surprising news. He told me he wanted to join the Navy Medical Corps in honor of his son. This good man was 60 years old, 18 years above the age limit. But his petition for a waiver was granted, and for the past year he has trained in battlefield medicine. Lieutenant Commander Krassoff could not be here tonight because he will soon deploy to Iraq, where he will help save America's wounded warriors and uphold the legacy of his fallen son. In citizens like these, we see the best of our country, resilient and hopeful, caring and strong. These virtues give me an unshakable faith in America. We have faced danger and trial, and there's more ahead. But with the courage of our people and confidence in our ideals, this great nation will never tire, never falter, and never fail.
All right, that's enough, W.
A message from the Crawford, Texas Chamber of Commerce.
I've had enough.
If you've packed up and left, headed east, headed west, to seek fortune and fame in a much bigger game, we'll still welcome you back. Yes, you're on the right track. If you feel most alive on Farm Road 185, yes, if you're idolized, won a Pulitzer Prize and a Nobel or two, we're still waiting for you. Yes, if you're a big star in NASA or NASCAR, politics or the arts, come on back to these parts. Wouldn't you love a chance to kick back at the ranch with some regular folks, with some pretzels and coke for a full year or two? No one bothering you, doing just what you please. No jet flights overseas. If you put in your term as the head of a firm like FedEx or Fannie Mae, U.S. Steel or the USA, leave the media glare. Getting treated unfair, you and God will be one. Beat the hot Texas sun. The empire's falling, the Crawford is calling.
Well, Bush managed to get through that speech. He stumbled a few times, seemed unfamiliar with the English language printed in large type in front of him. It's just so infuriating to hear him spin and dissemble, and in a moment we'll piss you off even more with some clips from Dick Cheney's exit interviews about what a wonderful job they've done and how they've kept America safe. But his lack of self-consciousness, his lack of real awareness of the world around him, comes through time and time again in the speech where he talks about projecting freedom, neglecting to say that it was projected at the end of a gun barrel or at the on the receiving end of a depleted uranium weapon. And he, of course, acknowledged briefly that there were some setbacks and some things that didn't go his way, but he still has no modesty, no humility to acknowledge the huge blunders. Not just itty-bitty mistakes, not just a mission accomplished banner or the bring it on rhetoric, but the fundamental errors of his administration. And as I said earlier today, what you'll never hear from Bush, what he'll never be able to understand, is that he did exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted him to do. He deployed American troops endlessly to Afghanistan and Iraq on Islamic soil. And you heard Bush say that 9/11 was something we didn't ask for. It was a direct result of bin Laden declaring war on America for putting U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia. And whether you think that's rational or not, that was his reason. And not simply some gratuitous assault because of our freedom or the movies we watch. And so Bush goes out, is unaware as he came in, but he thinks he has moral clarity, and that's what I'd like to hear your comments on. Moral clarity, he says, he knows the difference between good and evil. Well, I'm sorry. He lacks fundamental morality. And he's able to, you know, pander to Christian evangelicals in this country by pretending to be a conservative Christian. But Jesus would not support his unilateral preemptive invasion of Iraq or the ongoing occupation. Probably nobody will ever tell that to Bush. 888-5-PETER-B. My lines are open for you this hour. It's the Free Speech Zone. Comment on Bush and Cheney as they exit the White House. Exit stage right. And all the wrecking crew leaves behind them, and we've got a whole lot of work to do. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B.
RXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
We all know the economy's experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader Rinaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Robin's Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robin's Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robin's Jewelry in Carmel.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. We've got a traffic hazard on the northbound one just south of Fremont Boulevard. Traffic is slowing there. There's a dog running in between the lanes on the northbound one. And in Santa Cruz, we have a two-vehicle collision with an ambulance responding at 7105 Route 9. There's smoke coming out of one of the vehicle's cars, so use caution there. And on West Park Avenue at Route 9, there is a power line down in the roadway. Making our way to Hollister-Gilroy on Highway 152, just east of Casa de Fruta Parkway, look out for a large dog walking against the traffic. That's your traffic on AM 540. Have a great evening and a safe commute, and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. I want to hear your thoughts on the twisted, dissembling commentary you may have just heard from George W. Bush. It's some relief that this will be his last speech. But I'm aware that many of his spun ideas, scripted by Karl Rove and Karen Hughes, will linger. And many people will buy this crap long after he has stopped selling it. And I know I'm losing some of you. Susan wrote in from SoCal. Peter B., please spare us. I'd rather focus on the positive and get some good things done than listen to this misguided man who has wrought such destruction in the world. We all know what he's going to say anyway, don't we? I've turned it off, tuned it out onto better things. Well, Susan, that is your prerogative. Your free speech rights include choosing what you listen to or don't listen to. But if you'll indulge me, I want you to hear the spin from an unapologetic Dick Cheney. This is an interview broadcast on Wednesday on PBS. Jim Lehrer is asking the questions. And I'm going to interrupt this a couple of times because Cheney tells some old, discredited stories that need to be underscored.
In other words, prevented these further attacks. There would have been further attacks had you not been there and you not taken action.
Yes, sir. I can go back and a lot of the details are still obviously classified. But what we did in effect was in the aftermath of 9/11 and 02-03 time frame, when we first began to capture high-value detainees, senior members of al-Qaeda, like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or Abu Zubaydah. We then were able to interrogate them and collect intelligence from them, both about the al-Qaeda organization generally, how they functioned, who they were, where they came from, how they were financed.
And let's remember that, in particular, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded, has been tortured, and he has admitted to doing things he couldn't possibly have done. So how valid is the information he gave you, Cheney, on the inner workings of al-Qaeda? It's bogus. It's a bogus claim.
And also to get specific intelligence on prospective attacks.
And by the time these people were in our custody and we debriefed them after torture, the prospect that they had actionable information, close to nil.
And allow us to go out and wrap up, capture, arrest others. And that list is very impressive.
And if that had not happened, you think there would have been further attacks?
There's no doubt in my mind there would have been.
Serious attacks of the level like 9/11?
Serious attacks, well, plans, for example, to fly an airliner into the tallest building on the West Coast.
That's been discredited.
Plans to develop a so-called dirty device to be...
That is the case of Jose Padilla, who was convicted of flimsy charges that fell well below the original story told by John Ashcroft when he indicted him from Moscow, if you remember that.
Detonated someplace in the United States. Plans to hijack aircraft that were all headed for Heathrow, and then to capture them, blow them up over Heathrow, and plans to...
That, of course, is the liquid bomber plot out of England, and we know in detail that Cheney personally caused that investigation by the British authorities to be interrupted and exposed because they wanted a political chip to play for the 2006 elections. And of the 25 British people detained over the liquid bomber plot, more than half were released as innocent, and others were tried on conspiracy charges, but we learned that they were nowhere near the action stage that Cheney has repeatedly described.
Aircraft that they'd captured in Europe and destroy them as they came into the United States. I mean, it was a robust set of programs. There were other regions of the world that were involved as well as the United States.
So giving him the benefit of one doubt, which is that he is sitting on classified information that he could not share with us in claiming all the success that he's arguing here, well, there still are other ways that they could persuade us that the invasions into our civil liberties, the violations of our constitutional rights, the abrogation of treaties so that we could torture and detain people indefinitely, all of these arguably have become ways to embolden our enemies, to give them arguments to recruit new people, to expand the jihad. Dick Cheney, totally unaware of that. In his situation room, in the video games he plays, he always wins. All right, you're up next. Let me know what you think about these exit interviews and these lying sacks of crap. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day. So you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com. And we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Experts in the art of expression.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
There's a rat in the kitchen. What am I going to do? We've had a rat in the White House. What a relief that this episode is coming to an end. I'd like to hear your thoughts about the quote-unquote legacy of George W. Bush and Richard B. Cheney. And my lines are open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. Well, in the last segment, I told you about an email from a listener who said, enough, I can't stand hearing Bush and Cheney anymore, and Susan said she has tuned out as a result. But Karen Ever over in Sacred Tomato says, keep playing these cuts. We need to study these SOBs and continue to educate America on what these moldy vampires have sucked out of our world. All right, well, I'll continue. I'll tell you this, I have more of the Dick Cheney final interview on the PBS NewsHour. And I'll only play it if nobody calls. So if you call and tell me what you think about Bush and Cheney, we'll keep the conversation going, and you will essentially preempt me from playing more of Cheney's dissembling and BS. So that's the trade-off, and you can make the decision. It's group punishment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if I'm right, our listeners in Boston are just returning to our broadcast. They heard the State of the State message from Governor Deval Patrick and some commentary afterward. And if I have it right, you've just rejoined us on WWZN out of Boston. You're welcome to join this conversation. While you were listening to your governor, we were listening to Bush. You probably got the better deal, Boston. So join the conversation. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B. All right, it's Bill of Rights Man in Cleburne, Ohio. Hey, Bill.
Hey, it's Bill of Rights Man. It's from the frozen tundra of Cleveland, Ohio, where it's hovering around 0 degrees.
Ouch. Let me send out you just a little pocket of sunshine here. We hit 72 degrees again today here.
Oh, you're killing me, Peter.
Well, I'm trying to warm you up. I'm not trying to gloat, okay?
I got my thermostat set at 65 because I won't afford my gas bill.
Yeah, I understand.
Listening to Bush, he said, did he really say that our air, water, and land are cleaner now? Did he really say that?
You know, I don't have the script in front of me. I tried to take some notes. I believe he said measurably cleaner.
Yeah, right. What about that, like, gazillion gallon leak of all the toxic chemicals in West Virginia that overspilled?
No, that was Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, Tennessee doesn't matter.
Yeah, oh, of course.
And that is ash from clean coal.
Oh, right. That's
so you've got nothing to worry about. I mean, the only thing you could do is get Christine Todd Whitman out of retirement to make the same phony declaration she did after 9/11. Don't worry. Everything's safe.
It's fine.
Yeah, first responders, come on in.
Anyhow, I was cooking dinner when you and Scott were discussing this thing about all the congressmen and senators voted for supporting Israel in their strike against Hamas, except for 8, I think. That we're bold enough not to. And then one of you made a comment that, you know, if you don't vote with AIPAC in Israel,
mm-hmm.
you're going to go down in the next election.
It was Scott, and I concur with that comment.
And you know, there's always been this discussion of this so-called American Jewish conspiracy, and I'm just wondering what we all seem like we just take that for granted. If you don't vote for Israel's interest, then somehow there will be some candidate that will run against you that will be funded by the, you know, so-called Jewish-American conspiracy to defeat you.
Well, let's call them a lobby instead of a conspiracy, because it's pretty out in the open, and I don't consider it a conspiracy. Where I would direct you is to the book by Mearsheimer and Walt called The Israel Lobby. It was published about a year and a half ago. And it details the way that the supporters of the State of Israel have built a very strong political base in this country. And that's why you get these lopsided numbers in a Senate resolution like that, that was incredibly one-sided. If the Senate wanted to pass a resolution acknowledging the right of Israel to defend itself and acknowledging the ugliness of the occupation and the right of Palestinians to defend themselves, that would be a whole different story. But the elliptical way that these things are drafted and framed really allows them to simply embrace Israel without acknowledging the evils of the occupation and the land grabs that Israel has engineered over the last 25 years. And it doesn't acknowledge that while, yes, there are extreme elements on both sides, and we heard from the Israeli gentleman who was on our show earlier today, Yonatan Shapira, that, you know, there are other voices in Israel, but they are silenced as well.
And
here he is, you know, a guy who served in his military, refused to fire on Palestinians, and calls it, in my view, in a very accurate way.
You know, this whole business about someone that's going to, you know, an elected, going to stand up to AIPAC and the Israel lobby. Glenn Greenwald had a piece out maybe a week or so ago that basically said that, you know, some 70% plus or minus something of Americans really support the Palestinians and are appalled at what's going on in Gaza right now. But the exact opposite vote, and even further to that, is what happens in Congress. And there's just this giant disparity, and it doesn't give me much hope. If we can't elect someone that is not going to be challenged by this giant money lobby that's going to take them out, you know,
And, Bill, you know, it remains to be seen if Obama is adroit enough to retain the support of AIPAC while shifting the frame of this to a real humanitarian perspective. Because I think that if Obama were to articulate that what's important to him is each and every human life, and that every life has the same value, which is to say it's inestimable, then we have to value each Palestinian life, the 1,100 that have been snuffed out, the 5,100 who've been injured, as well as the 13 Israelis, mostly soldiers, who have died in this conflict.
Well, you know, I don't.
And if we start there, there could be a way for him to, in some ways, kind of slip out of the AIPAC straitjacket and say, look, this is about humanity, this is about human beings, and we have to get down to the basics here, that the occupation is immoral, that the launching of little rockets against civilian targets is immoral, and the only way to bring these two forces of immorality into a controllable sphere is to recognize that each human life has the same value.
Well, I know, Peter, honestly, I don't have much hope for Obama. I mean, he was made some comments earlier in the campaign that were perceived as anti-Israel, and then he made a speech at AIPAC, and everything was all good, and everything was all fine.
Yeah,
and
I share your concern.
I don't see him stopping the $8 billion a year of our taxpayer money that goes to send weapons, you know, fighter planes and so forth to Israel. I just don't see it in the cards. You know, everybody wants to talk about hopey, changey, and this bipartisanship-y. I, for one, am not buying it.
All right, Bill. I hear you, and I understand.
Well, Happy New Year, Peter. Thanks.
Okay.
Take my call.
You bet. I always appreciate it. This is a program that brings you views, voices, and news you don't get from the corporate media. And one of our favorite sources joins me right now. It's R.J. Shulman, the journalist and proprietor of the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. They're on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. R.J. Shulman, welcome.
Hey, Peter B., how are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm doing okay. We're trying to solve so many problems, and as usual, coming up in... Well, direct confrontation with the limits of humanity.
I know, but I do have a word for all those people who are getting sick of hearing these farewell speeches by Bush and Cheney.
All right.
Be thankful it's a farewell speech and not a hello speech.
Yeah, yeah. That is the relief, that we're hitting the final chapters here. And I just feel this urge or a desire to balance their lies with just a little bit of truthiness, you know?
I think so. I think that's great. So, it is a moment in history. There is a big change occurring, and I think we can all hope that it's a change for the better.
Well, let's take a look at the headlines here at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. Dateline Leavenworth, Kansas. The Obama family gets special help in choosing a puppy?
That's right. Barack Obama seems to be very capable of making decisions on everything, but when it's come to getting a dog for his family, he seems completely lost. So he's gotten an offer of help from former Atlanta Falcon quarterback Michael Vick.
Oh, my God.
He's offered his expertise on man's best friend to help, you know, the first family find the perfect pet.
Well, who would know dogs better than Michael Vick?
This is exactly right. As Michael Vick says, he looks for two things in a dog, and only two things: can it bite and can it fight?
Now, do Sasha and Malia need a dog that can bite and fight in the White House?
Well, actually, Michael Vick is looking more towards, you know, the symbolic nature of the first pet, because, you know, the whole world is going to be looking, and he thinks that, you know, if he's going to be the leader of the free world, he just cannot have a wimpy dog.
Yeah. But I take exception to this attack on Bichon Frises. I think they're nice dogs.
Oh, they're great dogs, but I guess Michael Vick felt that dogs like that or any other dog with, as he says here, a faggy French name is just not qualified to be the first family's pet.
All right. Next headline from Washington, Bernie Madoff has a new gig?
Yeah. Bernie Madoff has been asked by President Bush to help write his legacy, or as Bush says, I want this guy to write my autobiography.
Well, and Bernie's not too busy these days, but he does have to work from home at all times.
Right, he's got to work from home, but he's got a lot of time on his hands, so he's going to be able to rewrite, you know, the Bush legacy. And if there's anybody who convinced certain people that, you know, that Bush was not the worst president, Bernie Madoff is the guy. Of course, this is what I don't get. There's 25% of the people out there who still think Bush is doing a good job, and I just don't get it. And maybe that's the same people who think that they are doing a good job
mm-hmm.
In their life that think that. But I wish people would ask, why do you think he's doing a good job?
Yeah. Well, you know, that seems to be a win-win, Bernie Madoff and George W. Bush. They can sit back and talk about tax cuts and Ponzi schemes together.
That's right. Although Bush called it a Fonzie scheme. I think he's watching Happy Days too much.
And time for one more headline, and this relates to the new senator from Illinois who was sworn in by what's-his-dick today.
Yeah. This is a story that didn't make mainstream media, and this is where that... the reason that the Dems caved in on allowing Burris to sit in the Senate was, at first they were saying that he had to sit in the back of the chamber.
Wait a minute, that doesn't ring right.
No, it didn't, and fortunately it didn't happen. But that was the original deal that that Harry Reid was trying to cut, basically saying that it wasn't for any. You know, discriminatory reason based on race, but because his appointment was tainted by being appointed by, you know, Blagojevich.
The guy with all the hair. Right. I'm jealous. So what does Al Franken have to say about this? Because he hasn't been seated or even been given an SRO tag yet.
Well, you know, and rightfully so. You know, the senator select at that time... Burris had complained about this, saying that, you know, he had been rightfully selected and seated, and I think most people agree with that, and he was complaining, and Al Franken said, hey, what are you complaining about? I don't even have a seat yet.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, eventually he might get one. It looks like things are going to work out in his favor. Well, RJ, thank you for your exclusive reporting and for presenting these stories for us today.
All right. Talk to you soon.
R.J. Shulman, read his work on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's the site of the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. We'll return in a moment to take more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in King City, we have 10 cattle on the road on County Road G17 at County Road G16. And in Salinas, we have a traffic hazard on West Blanco Road at Davis Road. There is a sedan stalled in the westbound lane. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, on the northbound one at Soquel Drive, we have a report of a vehicle on fire. And at 7105 Route 9, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. In Hollister-Gilroy on Highway 152 at Lover's Lane, there is a large piece of tire in the road. Watch out there because cars are swerving all over the road to avoid it. That's your traffic on AM 540. Have a fantastic evening, everyone, and keep it locked on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in the home stretch, about 8 minutes in front of the hour. If you're listening in Boston on AM 1510, be sure to catch Jeff Santos every weekday morning. And be sure to catch our special coverage of the inauguration coming up Monday and Tuesday. It's sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. And we continue here in the Free Speech Zone, John of Carmel Valley. You're up next. Thanks for calling multiple times today. I'm glad we got you in.
I was extremely impressed with Yonatan Shapiro. Am I pronouncing his name right?
You are.
I wish I had his fortitude. To be an Israeli, he must take flack like, you know, sometime you, if you ever get him on again, ask him what he has to live with for taking the position he does. And unless it, I've heard that it is a real democracy in that respect, that free speech is adhered to. It's just that he must get from the Likudis and the real rightists, he must get mountains of worse than ridicule. I mean,
just to your point there, John, let me pull this up. I got an email from one of my tipsters here that in Tel Aviv this Saturday, there is a demonstration in the Charles Clor Park. And these are people who support the ceasefire. It says thousands will demonstrate against the mass killing. Stop the assault. Ceasefire now. So, you know, I have no idea of, you know, how many Israelis this actually represents. But it is an indication, A, that there are people who are vocally opposing the moves of the Israeli government, and B, that they have the freedom to express that publicly.
Yeah, it's a tradition amongst Jewish people, you know, arguing and debating goes back probably to the beginning, and I really respect that as a tendency amongst them. So if anybody thinks I'm just, just can't see any good in this whole thing, I want to admit that. But I want to say something about Billy Sunshine's point about why don't the Arabs come up with a solution and let's relocate the Palestinians. You know what? I think that's what's going to have to happen. I think that this thing, both Lebanon and the way the government, the Olmert government behaved there and now this in Gaza, I think the Palestinians have just simply got to be moved somewhere else.
Well,
now,
but I'm sorry. I cannot accept that notion, all right, because that is us on the outside trying to decide, you know, whose homeland that is. And frankly, I think that it's xenophobic on our part.
Oh, I'm not saying it.
To suggest
that it's not their homeland.
That we can dictate where they go. You know, if Israel weren't occupying the West Bank and Gaza Strip, I believe the Palestinians could live there in relative peace. Yet, you know, we're not able to get to that stage because Israel takes the phony position that they won't stop pounding the Palestinians until they cry uncle and say that they, you know, observe the right of Israel to exist and won't attack them. Well, there's a catch-22 here, that as long as Israel is occupying these Palestinian territories, what incentive is there for the Palestinians to give that up? It's irrational. And yet the U.S. backs Israel's irrational position
and acts as if the, you know, the problem here is those pesky Palestinians. Now, I am not supporting Hamas. I don't even support Fatah. I think both those groups have very serious problems. The issue is that in our name, Israel is cleansing the Gaza Strip and is doing so in a brutal way that really is a massacre, not some sort of a targeted military operation.
Speaking to the choir, I more than agree with you. I'm just saying that if the, your guest the other day, the in charge of the, or connected with the vessel trying to get in there, was right about Israel is really intent on a kind of extermination rather than an accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that in order to save the Palestinians, and I'll bet you there's plenty of people inside Islam and the Arab world who are beginning to think like this, that we might just have to bring these people out like you would have rescued people from a raging fire. You don't leave them there, you try to get them out, and that's my point.
Yeah, but because it fuels the larger tensions and conflicts in the Middle East, that kind of a resolution will only produce more jihadists, more attacks on Israel, more attacks on the United States. We can't wiggle out of it that way, John. I just don't think that's achievable.
But what we got isn't achievable either. I'm just saying maybe we should start thinking about alternatives to what we've already been seeing. We've got to come up with something else. That may not be the answer, but it's an attempt to find another answer, and that's all I'm saying.
Well,
I mean,
and that I do understand and I respect. I just don't think that it really takes us in a practical direction. John, thank you very much. Let me jump to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I guess I only have enough time for a little bit about Obama. I just learned what the details are for the bailout. I've learned, and this is an exclusive for your show,
right,
that Obama, he promises to use Vaseline and to give us all a kiss afterwards.
It's been a wild day on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll regroup and be back at you tomorrow.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
IBEW is the proud sponsor of our progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama. With 750,000 members nationwide, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers leads the way to our green energy future. Our skilled members are excited by the innovation and environmental benefits of the solar and wind generation facilities we've already built. There's one aspect that needs more attention, and that's the grid. Our electrical grid system needs to be updated and upgraded to deliver the green power we want. We learned the hard way during the blackout of 2005 in the East and Midwest, and in California in 2001. Our grid is aging and under strain. So IBEW urges Congress to remember the grid as it builds the plan for our energy future. Find out more at IBEW.org. A message from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. What could easily have been a tragedy is instead an amazing story of skill and survival. No one was killed, no one seriously hurt when a U.S. Airways jet with 155 people aboard was forced to make an emergency landing in New York's Hudson River. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston tells the story.
It was just moments into the flight when the plane's pilot radioed air controllers. He had lost both engines after hitting what may have been a flock of birds.
As we got lower and lower, the pilot said grace for impact.
Everyone kind of looked at each other and said some prayers. You know, I said about five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys, and we hit the water.
Witnesses watched as the plane began a gradual descent, reviving memories for some of September 11th.
It's coming down, 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 just right in the water.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to veer in and hit a building, actually.
It was pretty scary.
The plane then skimmed across the water 100 yards or more before coming to a rest just off Midtown Manhattan.
New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg calls it a masterful job.
I had a long conversation with the pilot. He walked the plane twice after everybody else was off and tried to verify that there was nobody else on board and assures us there were not.
Credit also goes to emergency service workers and the captains of ferry boats who rushed to the scene and rescued the passengers and crew, some from the frigid water. Before an audience of supporters at the White House, President Bush has delivered his farewell address. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
It was a last chance to polish his legacy 5 days before his presidency comes to an end. But in defending his policies, he conceded not all went as planned.
Like all who have held this office before me, I have experienced setbacks. And there are things I would do differently if given the chance.
But he said he has always acted in the best interests of the nation and followed his conscience. He offered his best wishes to Barack Obama and urged America to engage the world with confidence and clear purpose. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The president-elect was right across the street. Mr. Obama and his family have moved into Blair House, the government's official guest house, to await the inauguration next Tuesday. Some tough issues came up today at the confirmation hearing for Eric Holder, Barack Obama's choice for attorney.